Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the labels going on here at the 110 Nation. Glad to be here on this Tuesday night. We've got Izzo joining us in the studio about 9:30. We'll talk to the NHL. Not quite the week that I had been so commonly used to when I came to the football pool. Coming into this week, I had a 44-12 record. 78.6%, roughly, give or take. This week was a 9-4 week, giving me a 44-12, giving me a 53-16 percent, or a 53-16 record. It's not quite what I've been used to. But, you know, for the season, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. 76.8%. I'd like to keep it, get to that 80 or keep it above that 80 once I get back there. That would be a score. Of course, tomorrow night we'll be talking NFL picks. So we'll get into that more. Tomorrow's show. The two first three big topics, but two NFL big topics to me that actually there's a few. We'll get into a couple. Something I drag into tomorrow. Last night the Baltimore Ravens put a beat down on the Rams. This would have been last year's Rams instead of this year's 6-4 Rams. Last year went the whole season 12-4. I might have been a little more impressed. This Rams team has struggled all year long, so really not a surprise. I didn't pick the Rams. One more so I thought the defense would want to show up. That was kind of disappointing. Two, in part, is because I need the Ravens to lose in order for the Browns to claw their way back into the playoffs. Three wins in a row. Nice, impressive win. Just Miami, but a nice, impressive win. We go back against the Steelers again this weekend, so we'll see how that all shifts and plays out. But if this would have been last year's Rams that the Ravens won 45-6 against, I'd be more impressed. I'm not gonna say I'm impressed. I'm not so much, and everybody's all caught up on this Lamar Jackson shit. Like, he's running quarterback. I can guarantee you, Baltimore's not winning the Super Bowl. Teams still have another 6-7 weeks at least. We got 5 more games, 2-3 playoffs, the bye. I mean, you're looking about 10 weeks before the Super Bowl. What happens if all these other quarterbacks that have no arms, that rely on the legs, they open the humidity because they were spiral last year? What has happened to every one of these quarterbacks? Defenses have adjusted. We watched Colin Kaepernick take over Alex Smith's position in San Francisco. It was something different. Not that he was better, just something different. Alex Smith was doing the job. He wasn't turning the ball over. He had a high completion, like 70+ percent. I mean, he only averaged a couple hundred yards, but I know we're probably more back to him. He's barely over, 225 is his average? All those 49er fans jumped on that bandwagon. I told y'all that it was not going to happen. Defense adjusted, no experience, wasted timeouts, threw interceptions, defense adjusted, wasn't garbage, became garbage. Now can't even land a job in the NFL. And you can blame it on the Neyland thing. I'm sure part of it's got to do with the other part is he's not a good quarterback. He sucks. Defensive adjusted to it. Cam Newton came out. It was hard to defend him. What ultimately has happened, teams have adjusted. You can even take that to a non-running quarterback. Mayfield played phenomenal last year. What happened in the offseason, beginning of the season? Teams adjusted. Now you have Lamar Jackson, who can't really throw the ball. He barely averages 200 yards a game. Not that accurate. He's not like he's just throwing a bunch of long balls. There's a little dunk and deep. Little dink and dunk passes to his tight end and his running back for the most part. The rest of it's running. I am impressed with their run game. I am highly impressed with their run game. The combination of Ingram and their other two backs and Lamar Jackson, I give credit to Lamar Jackson. He's a good running back. Sucks as a quarterback. Really ain't got an arm. But I will give the Baltimore Ravens, they have a great run game. It has been a long time since I've seen an offense be so dominant in the game and it be based around the run. There's talks of Lamar Jackson, MVP. Are you kidding me? All these other players that are more valuable. I guess he is valuable because he's a legit threat. 9 out of 10 times he's going to run. He ain't got an arm, but that 1 out of 10 times you got to protect, you got to defend for the pass. Ain't winning a Super Bowl. You're kidding me. That was the most ignorant talk that I don't know if I've heard. Maybe since the last time, maybe since Kaepernick, you know, it was probably since Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl, more recently. Since Cam Newton was in the Super Bowl, have I heard anything as ignorant? Lamar Jackson in the Super Bowl. What does that bring game? It's been a long time since we've seen a team be so dominant in the run. Not the greatest defense. The tell you what, they got some names on that damn defense. For them not to be that good of a defense. Lord have mercy. I am so sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Listening to Cowboy fans. These daggone trip quote unquote calls. I understand you might have caught the raw deal of a couple of bad calls. One, and I say this for any team to include my own team. Take care of business. Don't allow a bad call or two dictate the outcome of the game. Take care of business. For all those out there, well, if they robbed us, they this, they that. What did they exactly do? Because at no point in that game did I see the Dallas Cowboys score a touchdown. Even if they get penalty back, kick a field goal, still lose them. Like, there is such a to-do about this call or these calls, you couldn't even muster up touchdowns. I can understand if this was a 28-24 shootout or even better, high-scoring game or shootout, and maybe I feel a little more sympathetic. I'm a firm believer. Take care of business. Don't let a bad call or two dictate the game or dictate the outcome. You just don't. Something you don't allow to happen. If you allow it to happen, then you've got to live with the outcome. You've got to live with the results. And ultimately, that's what happened. My Cleveland Browns. Before we get into my beloved, you who, whatever you want to say, my Cleveland Browns. I understand that Miles Garrett got the raw end of the call. I'm once again not condoning what Miles Garrett did. But I'm also saying if I was in Miles Garrett's shoes, I've done had a player come attack me. I've done had a player try to rip my helmet off my head. I've done had a player to take me, kick me in the balls and punch me in the balls. Sorry. Now I know from the NFL, this is the standard. You know, favor, it's going to be a two-game suspension or a six-game suspension, whatever the case might be. I don't get it. I'm not saying Myles Garrett. It should be. I am saying that this should have been a 4-6 game suspension. No having to go back and beg the commissioner. No this, no that. You play the remaining games left on the schedule and make the playoffs, make the playoffs, and then you're done. So, A, not only follow the stick, just got to tell them off. But B, we got to relabel everything. That's what I was saying. Lord have mercy. The life of getting up at 3:30 in the morning really affects me. About 9 o'clock at night. So the Cleveland Browns, the fans, decided they're going to take it upon themselves Sunday to have Rudolph Pinata having Piana, however you say it, dressed in a Rudolph jersey. I'm going to take my helmet and smash it. I understand being a Browns fan, the frustration. I also understand watching the replay, even just being simply a fan of the NFL and watching what Rudolph got away with was really no punishment to the employee for what they did. Doesn't make sense. Something else I was going to throw up. Congratulations, accomplished. That is my team champ. Champ is here. It's a long night. We'll be right back. We'll be right back on. We'll be back right here, I guess. Same time. Oh, hell, we'll see that. One 10 Nation Sports Show. Don't miss that. Non-MVP, not win the Super Bowl. Patriots. So that's in line. Like that. This whole debate, ever since the two calls, like who's going to dictate something you didn't really get wrong or then or after them. Glory to God. Oh, Lordy, have mercy. If there's a noise here in a couple minutes. Last Christmas. Oh, I did learn something new this week. His last time we'll jump into before we get it. So, in the studio, I learned that the first ever NFL game was played right here in Dayton, Ohio, by the Dayton Trains, back on October 3rd, 1920. I was beyond shocked. I learned something. Not every day I get an opportunity to expand my horizons and get to learn something. I'm not saying I know everything by any stretch of the imagination. I just finding the time to stretch. That's what I was about. I knew I came in this area for a reason. I got Izzo in the studio, so I'm going to go ahead and get him in here. I'm going to get him in the NHL section. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jay.
There we go. One, the backup quarterback was very impressive for Penn State. Started to make me worry a little bit in the comeback he was mounting until Ohio State went ahead and put their foot back on their groove. But the backup quarterback was very impressive for Penn State. All in all, good game, good clean game anyway. Glad to have you back. Look forward to jumping into some hockey. How you been? And let's get this into talk.
Yeah, it was definitely a good game. Unfortunately, the bad guys did win this game for you, Jay. So, congratulations to Ohio State. I do know that the big game, the more important game to a lot of people who follow one of the greatest college football rivalries of all time, is going to be this weekend, something I'm always look forward to. You always look forward to the Michigan-Ohio State game. It's unfortunate that Penn State did lose, but it was a good game. It was a very close game. I was very impressed with the the rookie quarterback and or the backup quarterback, excuse me, for the Nittany Lions. But you know, overall, I'm glad that they didn't get blown out. I'm glad that you know no one got hurt. Too bad. Maybe some pride got hurt a little bit. You know, especially on my end. But you know, that's just the nature of Penn State football for me for the last 10 or so years. But I am happy to report that my old alumni, the Farrell High School Steelers, are going to be battling the Clareton Bears in the Western Conference Finals and the state championship football of Pennsylvania right now. So congratulations to my alma mater. They are trying to defend their state championship that they had last year. Just an interesting fact, they went 8 straight games without surrendering a point during the regular season, Jay. So my high school's been kind of kicking some butt, taking some names, which is pretty cool. Wish luck to Coach Pegues and the Farrell Steelers as they head down to North Allegheny this weekend to take on the Clareton Bears. Just a quick history note, anybody that's from Western Pennsylvania or even Eastern Ohio that kind of pay attention to high school football around there knows that the Clareton Bears and the Farrell Steelers have a very, very rich history dating back all the way to the late 70s, early 80s. So it's going to be a good game. We're going to find out who's going to go to the state championship for Western Pennsylvania. And, man, Jay, nothing like some good old high school playoff football going on. So, but we're not here to talk about some football. We are here to talk about some hockey. We got 3 games going on tonight, kind of a light list. We do have a game on NBCSN for most of you, not me. We got the Stars in Chicago taking on the Blackhawks. That game is in the second period with about 3:20 left to go. The Blackhawks are up 1-0 on the Stars right now. In the third period, this has just been a blowout, Jay. Frankly embarrassing. With about 2 minutes left to go in the third, Boston is in Montreal taking on the Canadiens, and the Boston Bruins are all over the Canadiens, 8-1 in this game. Just a huge blowout. I haven't even finished reading the score notes to see who all registered a point. For the Bruins. So, also really cool, real quick. The Bruins have released an alternate jersey. I think dating from their 1950s, 1960s jersey. So if you guys get a chance to jump on NHL.com and take a look at that, that's also a pretty cool jersey concept that they unveiled. Our third game of the night is also in the third period with 3:20 also left to go. Minnesota Wild are in New Jersey taking on the Devils. The Minnesota Wild are up 3-2 in that game. So that's what we have on task here right now, Jay. Before we kind of dive into it, there's a story that I've been following very closely that kind of broke, I want to say late last night, early this morning, that I didn't really get a chance to get to you. But Bill Peters, who was the former coach of the Carolina Hurricanes, is now being investigated for something that's very truly ugly in my eyes. Using racial slurs, referring to racial slurs to Akeem Alou, who was a second-round pick of the Chicago Blackhawks back in the 2007 draft when he was playing for the Rockford Ice Hogs, who was the AHL affiliate of the Chicago Blackhawks. There was some music being played pregame. We all know how it is in the locker rooms. We've all been in locker rooms. Well, most of us have been in locker rooms and know that there's a pretty big cultural diverse, there's a big diversity when it comes to music when you're, you know, on a team playing for, you know, playing any kind of sport. There was some hip hop rap music being played, and there was some very derogatory words kind of labeling that type of music and the race of people that it belongs to, which was just unfortunate to hear about. And also a former player that played under Mr. Peters that was apparently abused by Bill Peters, being kicked and punched by Bill Peters on the bench during a game. So this is a story that I'm unfortunately following. This could have some big implications going down the road, especially for the Flames right now, because, you know, that's who Bill Peters is coaching for right now, is the Calgary Flames. It is he has not been fired from what I've read. I did see that about an hour ago that it was announced that he will not be coaching the Buffalo Sabres tomorrow night on Wednesday. So this is an ongoing investigation that's going on right now. I do know that Flames general manager Brad Treliving is closely monitoring this investigation and staying close with the league and moving forward from there. This is rather unfortunate. Like I said, this is a story that kind of broke late that I've been really kind of paying attention to. This could be a very, very big, potentially a big black eye for the Calgary Flames, who have already gone through so much in the last couple seasons with other issues on and off the ice. So this is just one more of those, you know, unfortunate circumstances where this doesn't need to be in any sports or any aspect of life at all. So we're going to be paying attention to this. I do know that, by next Tuesday, there's going to be a little bit more that's going to come out. So far, there have been a couple of players that have acknowledged that these incidents did happen. One with the locker room dealing with Akeem Alou and the music, and another player who I can't remember off the top of my head, please forgive me right now, about being abused on the bench. So a lot of people have spoken to Bill and these players, and this is an issue that came out that happened between the 2008 and 2010 seasons with the Rockford Ice Hogs. So who knows why this is just coming out now. This is something that I'm actually kind of looking into as well, even just moments even before I jumped on the air. But, like I said, a potential black eye for the Calgary Flames, especially when you look at, how well that hockey team is playing, as of recently. So, they're two spots out of the wild card spot right now, Jay. And, unfortunately, this has been, just a kind of like a derailer. So you don't know what kind of issues you're going to have when it comes to locker room chemistry. I don't know who's going to be the interim head coach right now for tomorrow's game against the Sabres. But, like I said, a very unfortunate set of circumstances that are following on the Calgary Flames right now, Jay. But other than that, we can dive right into this week. And like I said, I'll be keeping a close eye on this story as it develops throughout the week and into the weekend. I still have you, Jay?
Lost my train of thought. Maples coach. Looks like the Maple Leafs are deciding on in a different direction. In firing Babcock this week. I know they got an interim coach. Not a big fan of interim coaches. You kind of expect your team to adjust to someone else. And it seems to get to the end of the year, and we're not going to go in the direction we're going to yet go in another direction, and your team's got to adjust once again. So I'm never big on an interim coach, but how big was this for the Maple Leafs? Was this something that needed to be done? And what direction do the Maple Leafs need to go now that they have an opportunity to work on certain things there?
Well, it kind of caught me out of nowhere, Jay. I really didn't expect to see this to happen so early in the season. Typically, I've seen it happen maybe just a few times and just me watching all the hockey that I have, over the course of the years I've been on this earth. But, most recently I'd have to say when the Penguins released Mike Johnston a few years back before Mike Sullivan took over as bench boss for the Penguins. And that happened, in December, around this time too. So, you know, it really kind of surprises me, especially since he has taken this team to the playoffs, you know, three straight times with over 95 points, you know, for the season respectively. So, you know, Kyle DuBose, you know, who knows what that train of thought was kind of thinking right now. Babcock's a hell of a coach, Stanley Cup winner, you know, has got plenty of playoff experience, and really trying to build a different team than what he had in Detroit for all those years. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen. If he wants to coach again, he will coach again. I don't believe it's going to be hard for him to get, you know, another job in the NHL. So, you know, whether that's, you know, going to happen this year or not, we'll see and find out later. You know, he could be a coach. He could be a candidate for the Seattle expansion team. So, you know, I don't think he'll want to go through another rebuilding experience. I think he'll want to go to a team, you know, that's kind of established already, you know, has the right pieces in place to really make a solid run, you know, with what he's had, you know, in Toronto the last couple of years. I mean, that you got a pretty solid team in Toronto, and you got some potential future Hall of Famers on that team, and a darn good team. So they've been playing, you know, pretty well. You know, I think a lot of the guys, you know, were kind of genuinely surprised that happened at that point in time. So we'll see what's going to happen here, you know, and if he doesn't get a job, you know, like I said, this season, he could be, you know, Ron Francis's, golden knight, you know, in shining armor, essentially, you know, a dawn in the, you know, a dawn of light in the darkness for, you know, that 2020, 2021 season. So, it's going to be interesting, to see how it's going to happen, and especially for, the Maple Leafs, you know, and, you know, you got Shelton Keefe right now from the Toronto Marlies of the AHL being the headliner to possibly, you know, take this coaching job. That is something that you genuinely do see in the NHL. A lot of teams will go down to their farm team to grab coaches. We've seen this time and time again. So we're going to be I'm going to be paying attention to see what, how this really plays out in Toronto. I do know that, you know, some of these, this team is just too good not to be successful, you know, to not, you know, constantly be in the running for the Atlantic Division, you know, season in and season out. So, we're going to find out what Toronto is going to be really made of within the next couple weeks here. You know, the Leafs have overall performed well, but their past six games, not a win or anything like that. Even gave up some bad losses in those six games too. So we're going to find out, you know, we're going to find out what this team's really made of. And we're going to find out that, you know, if you know, a coaching change is what's really wrong with this team, or is it something that's going to be, you know, have to be addressed with the roster? So it's going to be, you know, it's one of those really unfortunate things that kind of happened, you know, that really kind of surprised me, Jay. Like I said, I really didn't see this coming. So, they have the team in place. It just seems that they weren't totally eye to eye when it comes to the coaching aspect. So, like I said, we're going to be paying attention to this for the next couple weeks, and we're really going to follow Toronto and see how they dig themselves out of this hole, Jay.
The NHL thinks that they're going to be sitting down this March and discuss a few things as they can. One is going to be the outside. This is one of the topics of discussion. As much as I hate for the sport to be over any sport, off season, and Fox are always interesting. So it's always interesting to me what changes or what things they don't change to make the sport more appealing and try to please the fans. And this obviously is going to be one of those topics. Is executives plan to talk about possible changes. And so does there need to be changes, you like, as current as is? And if not, what would you do to, what changes would you make? Or what changes do you feel that need to be made to be more appealing? Or what would you like to see the room?
You know, that's a good question. The offsides rule has always been, in my eyes, kind of similar to what a catch is in the NFL. It certainly has its fair share of problems, like the, you know, the catch rule in the NFL. You know, you have to have full possession of the puck when you cross that blue line, you know, and the puck has to be all the way over the line, just like it is when a goal is scored. That puck has to go all the way across. There has to be a sliver of white, you know, white ice in between the goal line and where the puck is sitting in the net. So that puck has to, no matter what aspect of the rule, when it comes to offsides or a goal being scored, that puck has to cross the line. And when a play becomes offsides, that puck has to completely cross the line coming out of the zone. So I've seen a lot of calls this year, and I've seen a lot of reviews about this offsides, you know, issue that the NHL is kind of having right now. And I do believe that it is an issue because it has cost some teams goals. And generally speaking, you know, the big difference between football and hockey is you can still be in possession of the puck without having it on your stick. You can't be in possession of the ball if it's not in your hands or if you don't make a catch, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, a lot of guys have to make a play, you know, where they have to make a deke or try and play a puck off the boards to try and create some space, get free, keep possession of the puck, you know, instead of, you know, dumping it down the boards back into the corner, try and keep the cycle going for the offense that you normally see. So, you know, with this offsides rule, I don't know how they would change it. The only thing that I could actually, you know, logically really see, unless they, you know, come up with some fanatical, you know, way to do this, is to say that the puck only has to be, you know, a part of the puck can be over the blue line for it to be an onside play, as to where the entire puck has to be across the entire blue line, you know, to be an onside play. That would be the only logical explanation that I could see where that would, you know, kind of make the game a little bit easier, especially when it comes to, you know, offside reviews and such. And like I said, that, you know, that's becoming a modern thing now. You know, just like the, you know, reviewing a catch in football, it's becoming more and more prominent. And I think coaches are kind of, you know, displeased, would possibly like to see, you know, a rule change of some sort. But, you know, in my eyes, I think that would be the easiest way, is just to have a portion of the puck, you know, hit that blue line for it to be an onside play. Because guys are always, you know, trying to, it's called a center line drive, and it's very important in the game of hockey. Your puck carrier, as he's entering the offensive zone, you have what's called a center drive guy, or a guy who is in the middle of the ice, who's trying to distract the defense, create some space for the puck carrier, and he's driving down the center of the ice towards the goal. If you pay attention to this, you will see every team does this, where a guy who doesn't have the puck is trying to drive this down the center to try and create some traffic, create some havoc in front of the goaltender to try and disrupt the defense from what they're doing. Like I said, every team does this, and if you kind of pay attention, you'll notice that, you know, parts of the player who doesn't possess the puck will be a sliver of a hair ahead of the puck. But one, you know, it's kind of finicky because you can have one foot that's technically offsides. As long as your other foot is behind the blue line, it's still a onside play. You know, there, like I said, it's kind of like the NFL catch rule. There's so many different facets to it that, you know, if you're not really familiar with the game, it can confuse you and possibly turn you off, you know, about some aspects of the sport. But, you know, this is just something that the GMs, I think, really do need to address, you know, to kind of really, you know, water it down, you know, make it more simple. There's no need to complicate it even more, because all you'll do is just, you know, generate more pauses of the game, you know, and take, you know, time away from, you know, gameplay itself. So, you know, I'm going to be interested to see. This was talked about a little bit last year at the last or at the 2017 GM meetings, but, you know, they decided not to make any modifications. I do believe that they wanted to really kind of, you know, gather their notes and really kind of figure out, you know, what an onside play is going to have, what an onside play constitutes, and what's the easiest way to achieve that. I think that's going to be the most painless route to take to get this you know, settled and everything. So it's going to change the outlook of the game, you know, now that you have penalties that are involved with coaches' challenges, and some of them are quite severe. This season, 40%, the number of challenges this season had a 32% decrease just because of the rule changes. So we're seeing some, you know, effective rule changes that are affecting the game right now. We'll pay attention to see if the owners and general managers, you know, make another rule change that's going to impact the game. So, you know, like I said, I think it's a good idea where that they can, get the onside, you know, offside plays, you know, a little bit combed out, you know, a little bit fine tuned and everything. So I think it would have helped the game immensely, Jay.
Islanders end a 17 game point streak, very impressive streak for the Islanders. Had his first regulation loss since October. No, that's saying something about these Islanders. And this is someone on the outside looking in. But being a hockey expert that you are, how impressive was this run? And what does this do for the Islanders moving forward? I know if I come off a 17-game point streak, I'm carrying some serious momentum with me. And watch out the rest of the NHL. I might want another run. That's my mentality. But how impressive was this, Izzo, and what has this done for them?
You know, it all starts with goaltending. When you haven't lost a game in regulation, you know, since, you know, October 11th, and here we are in late November, you know, that's, you know, that's a hell of a run. And if you look at the teams that they beat and you know, during that streak, and even coming back from a 4-2 deficit against my Penguins the other night. So, you know, they've been playing amazing hockey, Jay. You know, during that period, I think Grace was 8-0 with a almost a 94% save percentage, and with the goals against under 2, which is amazing. You know, so they ran into, you know, John Gibson of the Anaheim Ducks when that streak was snapped. You know, where they the Ducks took that game 3-0 at the Honda Center out in California. But you know, 17 game point streak, always impressive. It's always useful. It always boosts you in the standings, you know, no matter what, you know, because if you're gaining at least a point in 15 straight games, you know, that's just terrific. And, I mean, they're 3 points behind Washington in the Metro Division right now. You know, they're playing amazing hockey right now. They're 7-1-2 their last 10 games. You know, they're playing great at home. They're playing great on the road. That's what you have to do to be successful in this league. You got to be able to play not only in front of your home fans. Unfortunately, Mike would say they don't really have a home yet, but it's coming. But they're playing great on the road, and they're not playing scared. They're not being intimidated by, you know, some of the great players that are, you know, around the league right now. So, you know, like I said, right now they're second place, in the Metro Division. They're fourth in the league, you know, so they're setting themselves up for a nice December, a good January. And if they keep playing good like this on the road and they still get, you know, keep getting goaltending performances, out of their goalies, you know, they could be a really scary team to look at when it comes, you know, March, April time, you know, just before playoffs. So this is another team I feel, you know, if they're on the right move, they could be buyers at the trade deadline to bolster that offense a little bit, and get some help, you know, to really kind of boost that team. So they've been playing great defense. They've been playing great offense. Their special teams have been outstanding, not only getting power play goals, but getting shorthanded goals by the bunches as of late, too. So, you know, this team has been playing awesome hockey right now. You know, I hope Mike is upstairs right now kind of smiling right now. So hopefully this could be the year. You know, this could be a good year for the Islanders overall. You know, Barry Trotz seems to have you know, a good finger on the pulse right now. That team is just playing well up and down the list, and you know, it's everything's looking good. You know, over in Long Island right now for the Islanders, Jay.
And with a couple minutes left, we're going to touch on two things. One, the three stars of the week. I tell you what, it's becoming one of my favorite parts of the show. I think it's cool to be able to highlight on some of the players and what they accomplished. Kind of wish all those sports had something like this. I guess in the NFL, you got the player, defensive player of the week, and offensive player. And not quite the same thing, but I've gotten where I'm enjoying the three stars of the week. So I'm glad we added that, or you added that. And then also, what games this upcoming week do we need to look out for and make sure that either we're sitting in front of or DVRing so we don't miss?
Yeah, we had some. We had a pretty good week for our three stars, which dates from the 18th of last week to the 24th. Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins, Connor McDavid again from the Edmonton Oilers, and Brock Nelson from the New York Islanders. If you look at what Marchand did, 3 goals, 4 assists for 7 points and a +6 rating in 3 games for the Bruins, who are leading the Atlantic Division, who went perfect last week, winning all their games. He registered a 16th career 3-assist performance in his 3rd of the season. You know, he had a pretty good stretch there, beating the Rangers and Pittsburgh there, and New Jersey. So, he's, you know, Marchand is probably one of the most underrated players in the league. I do know that, you know, not a lot of people like the way he plays his game. Was really known, you know, to a lot of people as one of those, you know, kind of dirty players, you know, especially with his antics and everything like that. The league kind of stepped in on him licking people a little bit, which is, you know, kind of funny, but hey, whatever tactic you need. So, second star, Connor McDavid. You know, these Oilers are having one hell of a year right now, Jay. And, you know, it's kind of nice to see that ship get righted, because it was looking kind of dull there and starting to get a little hot, you know, on the hot seat for certain people, not only in the front office, but on the roster. So, McDavid, 4 goals, 3 assists for 7 points in 4 games. He went 3-1 in those 4 games, and moved in the first place in the Western Conference standings during that week. So he had his 8th three-point effort of this season and went over the San Jose Sharks, I do believe it was. So he's recorded points in 11 straight games. So we're going to be paying attention to that. He's always, you know, a front runner for the Hart Trophy. For MVP of the league. So he's having a good year along with Leon Draisaitl and company up there in Edmonton, and all wheels are turning forward on that. Getting to the third star, Brock Nelson, center from the New York Islanders. He shared the league lead for 4 goals in 3 games. He had 4 goals, 1 assist, including 2 in overtime to help the Islanders extend their point streak to a franchise record 17 contests. He rallied a couple times, if I remember, in that Pittsburgh game where they came back, including his 5th career overtime goal, which was on November 19th against the Penguins. Yeah, that's right. That was a pretty good game. It was going back and forth for a while. And, Brock Nelson, he just kind of took over that game. I know it kind of made me upset, too. I had to actually go outside and have a smoke real quick, have a puff of a cigarette to kind of calm my nerves, because Brock Nelson was just killing me that night, Jay. But he's a very solid player for the Islanders, one of the more underrated centers in the league, especially right now, too. So, like I said, that Islanders team, I'm kind of keeping an eye on them. I think they're going to really be doing some big things. I think they're going to make a big splash, when it comes to the, when it comes to playoffs, and even the trade deadline too, as well. So those were our 3 stars of the week. And, we got some good games, coming on, this week. Like I said, we do have the Flames and Sabres tomorrow. That game, like I said, Bill Peters, head coach of the Flames, will not be coaching amidst this investigation going on, but we do got an original six matchup going on. We got the Maple Leafs at the Red Wings. Unfortunately, Mike Babcock is not going to be there. His two former teams, his last two teams that he coached, the Leafs and the Red Wings, will be doing battle tomorrow. And we got a good one that I'm looking forward to. It's my game of the night tomorrow. We got the St. Louis Blues going into Tampa to take on the Lightning. So we got, defending Stanley Cups, going against one of the hottest teams in the league right now, and that's going to be my game to watch. Jay, I do know that your Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow. I do believe that game might be on NBCSN. That should be local channel for you. I do know that the anytime the Stars are on NBCSN, that it's always on the local channels. I do believe that's how it goes all around the country. So that's what we got going on for tomorrow for Wednesday night hockey. Thursday, there's only one game that's going to be on the NHL Network. For those who have the NHL Network, the New Jersey Devils are going to be going into Montreal to take on the Canadiens. Like I said, that is the only game that we have on Thursday. Friday, big set of games on Friday. Day after Turkey Day. Jay, my Penguins are going to be in Columbus taking on your Blue Jackets. That game will be on at 6 p.m. Eastern time. We do have a couple games that are going to be nationally televised, especially the big one. What we're going to have is we're going to have the Rangers and the Bruins doing battle on NBC at 12 p.m. That game will be, like I said, will be on NBC. That's going to be, usually that's the equivalent of football on Turkey Day for all of us, for all the normal people in the country and everything like that. But that's the game that I'm going to be watching on Friday. Saturday, we do have some pretty good games going on. We got the Flyers and Canadiens doing battle up in Montreal this weekend. we also have the Carolina Hurricanes doing battle with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hurricanes are having an awesome year this year. It's another team that I've been kind of watching and keeping my eye on. They'll be taking on Tampa Bay in the in Florida. Also, Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to be in Long Island taking on the Islanders. This will probably be a pretty good game to watch too as well. I don't believe that game is going to be on national TV, unfortunately. Sunday, when we get to Sunday, only 3 games. Sunday, we do have 1 game on TV on the NHL Network. We got the Canadiens and the Bruins. Longtime rivalry, a lot of hatred between these two. It'd be a good game to watch and enjoy a nice cold beverage. Also, Stars and Wild, which is probably going to be a game I'm going to be watching before that Canadiens and Bruins game, also on Sunday. And then Monday, day before our Puckhead segment on Tuesday, we got the Blues and Blackhawks on NHL Network on Monday. That's a good Central Division matchup, a lot of hatred between those two teams. And that's going to be the game that I'm most focused on for Monday. that's what we got on tap. Like I said, if you don't have the NHL.tv or the ESPN Plus app, you can watch all those games on those two platforms too as well. Also, check out the NHL.com. They typically do have a free game of the week, usually thrown in there somewhere, you know, every once in a while. So if you ever want to check out NHL.tv, see what it's all about, you can jump on NHL.com, pick out the free game that they offer, you know, and just kind of chill back and watch it on your tablet or your phone or your computer, your TV, whatever you need. Just as long as you got a good cold beverage to kind of kick back and relax and watch some puck, that's all you're going to need, Jay.
Most definitely, most definitely. And so I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Looking forward to catching up with you on next Tuesday night. You and your family have a happy Thanksgiving. Make sure that you eat plenty, enjoy the hockey, and we'll catch up again next Tuesday.
Always. I want to wish everybody listening and all of our 110 family happy Thanksgiving. Hope everybody eats a lot, stay safe, enjoys the family atmosphere that comes with this time of the year. Don't forget about your local turkey bowls. I know my area is going to be having their turkey bowl. Unfortunately, I will not be there. Hopefully somebody throws it up on YouTube like they did last year. And like I said, everybody have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to everybody next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is our NHL expert. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure that I thank Fairmont Sports Plus for being on board and being one of our partners. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. You can like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.110nationsports.com. For the latest tomorrow night, be right back here in the studio, 110 Nation Sports Show, right down on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. So, next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.